All right, let's dive in. Today we're heading down under to explore the world of Australian wine.
Sounds good.
You know, when you think about Australia, you think about the outback, kangaroos, the Sydney Opera House,
Right.
but wine, not always the first thing that springs to mind.
I agree.
So we're going to uncover what's really going on in those Aussie vineyards. What kind of wines are they making?
Yeah.
What grapes are they using? And what should we expect when we pop open a bottle? We've got some fascinating data to guide us from a book called Wine Grapes, which breaks down global grape varieties,
Very cool.
and some wine science PDFs that delve into the nitty-gritty of winemaking techniques.
Excellent.
So, first things first, does Australia even make wine?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, they're a bigger player in the global wine scene than you might think.
Really? I have to admit, I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting when you dig into the data. Australia has a surprisingly significant share of the global wine grape production.
Okay. So it's not just a hobby for them. They're serious about it.
Definitely. If we look at the numbers, between 2000 and 2010, Chardonnay production in Australia, for example, doubled compared to other major wine regions.
Wow, double. That's a huge increase.
It is. They're clearly doing something right down there.
So Chardonnay is a big deal in Australia, then.
Absolutely. But it's not the only star. Shiraz is another major player.
Shiraz. Now, I'm always getting Shiraz and Syrah mixed up. Help me out here. Are they the same thing?
You're not alone in that. They are indeed the same grape. It's just called Shiraz in Australia and Syrah in other parts of the world, mainly France.
Okay. So when I see a bottle of Aussie Shiraz, I'm essentially drinking Syrah.
Precisely. And what's fascinating is that Shiraz, or Syrah, has a long and storied history, which is revealed in the wine grapes data.
Oh, I love a good grape backstory. Spill the tea.
Well, it's believed to have originated in France's Rhone Valley, but it really found its footing and thrived in Australia, almost becoming synonymous with Australian wine.
Fascinating. So it's a French grape that found a new home down under and really made a name for itself. That's so cool.
It is. It shows how grapes can travel and adapt to different environments.
It really does. Okay, so we've got Chardonnay and Shiraz as the big names in Australia, but what other grapes are commonly used in their wines?
Well, Australia has a surprisingly diverse range of both red and white grape varieties.
Okay, let's start with the reds. What else is there besides Shiraz?
You'll find Cabernet Sauvignon, another popular one, occupying a good chunk of the vineyard area. Then you have Grenache, Merlot, even Pinot Noir, though in smaller quantities.
So, good mix of familiar favorites. And what about the white wines? Anything beyond Chardonnay that stands out?
Absolutely. You've got Sauvignon Blanc, Riesling, Semillon.
Okay, yeah, I know those. But I'm always up for trying something new. Are there any more unusual or lesser-known grapes that Australia is experimenting with?
Oh, there are a few hidden gems for sure. On the red side, there's Darif.
Darif? Never heard of it?
It produces these robust, inky wines packed with flavor, not as widely known as Shiraz or Cabernet Sauvignon, but definitely worth seeking out if you like bold, fruit-forward reds.
Darif. I'm putting that on my list. And for the white wine lovers.
Well, there's Marsanne, originally from France's Rhone Valley,
Okay.
but it's found a happy home in Australia too. It produces these really aromatic white wines, often with nutty and sometimes honeyed notes.
Nutty and honeyed. That sounds intriguing. I'd like to keep an eye out for those.
They're worth trying for sure. But you know, speaking of interesting grapes, there's something else in the wine grapes data about Shiraz that really surprised me.
Oh, another plot twist in the Shiraz saga.
Exactly. Remember how we said it originated in the Rhone Valley?
Yeah.
Well, there's this ancient Croatian grape called Tribodrag.
Okay.
And guess what? Genetic testing has revealed that Shiraz is actually a direct descendant of Tribodrag.
Wait, so Shiraz has Croatian ancestry. That's wild.
It really is. It shows you how interconnected the wine world is. Who knew that a glass of Aussie Shiraz could have such a deep international history?
I know. Makes you wonder what other secrets are hidden in those vines.
It really does. Grapes have such fascinating stories to tell.
They do. Okay, so we've talked about the grapes, but now let's get down to the taste. What can we actually expect when we open a bottle of Australian wine?
That's the exciting part, right? Getting to experience those flavors.
Exactly. Now, Australia is a massive country with a wide range of climates, from the hot outback to cooler coastal regions.
Right.
Does that mean we should expect a really diverse array of wine styles? Or are there some common threads that tie Australian wines together?
Well, both, actually. The climate definitely plays a role in shaping the character of the wines. You're right. Australia has diverse geography, everything from those sun-drenched areas to cooler spots, and that shows in the wines. But generally speaking, Australian wines are known for their ripe fruit flavors, full body, and a certain boldness that sets them apart.
Boldness. Is that what people mean when they talk about New World versus Old World wines?
You got it. It's a good point to bring up.
I've heard those terms,
Yeah.
but I'm not always sure what they really mean.
Yeah, it can be a little confusing. Think of old world wines, those from places like France, Italy, Spain. They tend to focus more on elegance, earthiness, maybe more restrained fruit flavors.
Okay, so more subtle and refined.
Exactly. Now, new world wines, those from regions like Australia, California, Chile, they often go for more fruit forwardness, higher alcohol, a bit more oomph.
So bolder, more in-your-face flavors.
Yeah, you could say that. And often a more pronounced oak influence, too.
Oak. That makes me think of those vanilla notes I sometimes get in Australian reds. Is that from the oak barrels?
It could very well be. Oak aging is definitely a common practice in Australia, especially for reds. And the type of oak used can make a big difference in the flavor.
Ah, so it's not just any old oak. Tell me more about that.
Well, you have American oak, which often gives those classic vanilla and coconut flavors that you mentioned.
Right.
Then there's French oak, which tends to be more subtle, adding hints of spice and cedar.
So even within the oak category, there's a whole world of flavor nuances.
Absolutely. It's all about the details.
Okay, so we've got the grapes, we've got the oak, but what else contributes to that unique Australian wine taste?
Well, you mentioned climate, but there's also the soil
Oh, yeah, the soil.
and the rainfall, the angle of the sun. All of that comes together in what we call terroir.
Terroir.
Ugh.
Honestly, that word has always sounded kind of mystical to me. I mean, I know it's important, but how does it actually translate into what I taste in the glass?
It's a great question. Let me give you an example. Imagine a Shiraz from the Barossa Valley, a really warm, dry region with rich soils.
Okay.
That Shiraz would likely be full-bodied with ripe plum flavors, hints of chocolate and spice, really
I can
intense.
almost taste it now.
Right. But then imagine a Shiraz from, say, the Hunter Valley.
Different region.
Yep, cooler climate, different soil. That Shiraz might surprise you with its peppery notes and a more savory, earthy finish.
So it's the same grape, Shiraz, but expressing itself in totally different ways because of where it's grown.
Exactly. And that's the magic of terroir. It's the way the environment leaves its fingerprint on the wine, giving it that unique character.
I love that. It's like the grapes are absorbing the essence of the place. Okay, so we've got terroir, we've got the grape variety, but I'm guessing the winemaker has a hand in this too, right?
Yeah.
What about the winemaking process?
Oh, for sure. Winemaking techniques definitely play a crucial role, and that's where those wine science PDFs come in. They shed some light on what goes on behind the scenes.
Perfect. I'm ready to get technical. Give me an example of a winemaking technique that's common in Australia.
Well, one that you'll see mentioned a lot is malolactic fermentation.
Malolactic fermentation. That's a mouthful. Break it down for me.
All right, so it's a process that basically transforms the tart malic acid, naturally found in grapes, into a softer lactic acid.
Okay, so it's changing the acidity of the wine. But what does that mean for the taste?
Think about it like this. Imagine biting into a crisp green apple. Tart, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Now imagine that same apple cooked down into a creamy, buttery sauce. Smoother, right?
Oh, I see. So malolactic fermentation gives the wine that creamy, buttery texture.
Exactly. And it's particularly common with Chardonnay, giving it that smooth, almost velvety mouthfeel that a lot of people love.
So if I see a bottle of Chardonnay that says Malo on the label, that's a clue that it's going to have that buttery texture.
You got it. It's a little insider tip. Now, another interesting technique they talk about in the research is minimal pruning.
Minimal pruning. That sounds almost counterintuitive. I thought pruning was all about keeping those vines in check.
It is, but in this case, it's about intentionally stressing the vines a little. By leaving more buds on the vine, the grapes have to compete for resources, which means fewer grapes, but more intensely flavored fruit.
Ah, so it's all about concentrating those flavors.
Exactly. It's a balancing act, but when it's done right, it can result in truly remarkable wines.
So they're basically giving those grapes a tough love approach to bring out the best in them.
You could say that. And there are countless other techniques they use, from different ways of training the vines to specific irrigation methods, all with the goal of maximizing the quality and expression of those grapes.
This is blowing my mind. There's so much more to winemaking than I ever realized.
Right. It's a fascinating blend of art and science,
It
really.
really is. It's amazing how much goes into crafting those perfect bottles of wine.
It is. And you know, We've only just dipped our toes into the world of Australian wine, but I think we've given our listeners a good taste of what this incredible region has to offer.
I agree. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are some key takeaways for our listeners?
Yeah.
What should they remember about Australian wine?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is the incredible diversity.
Right. It's not just one type of wine.
Exactly. We've talked about those big, bold reds like Shiraz and Cabernet Sauvignon.
Uh-huh.
But there are also those elegant whites like Chardonnay and Riesling. And then you have those more unusual varieties like Duruf and Marsan waiting to be discovered.
So many options. It's exciting, but it can also be a bit overwhelming when you're standing in the wine aisle trying to choose a bottle.
Oh, I know what you mean. So many labels, so many regions.
Exactly. So what advice would you give to someone who's new to Australian wine and wants to find something they'll enjoy?
Well, I always say start with what you know you like. If you're a fan of, let's say, big, bold Cabernet Sauvignons, then look for a Cabernet from Australia's Coonawarra region.
Okay, so use your existing preferences as a guide.
Exactly. And be open to trying new things. You might discover a new favorite grape or region that you never knew you loved.
I love that. So embrace the adventure and don't be afraid to experiment a little. Well, this has been an incredible journey through the world of Australian wine. I feel like I've learned so much.
Me too. It's always fascinating to delve into a specific wine region and uncover its unique characteristics.
Absolutely. And to our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed this deep dive into the world of Australian wine. We encourage you to grab a bottle, give it a swirl, and discover the magic for yourselves.
Cheers to that.
And as always, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll be back soon with another fascinating topic to explore. Until then, keep those minds curious.